Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great, and I wish the people in California there with all these wildfires are doing a lot better. But wow, it sounds like what is a replay of the devastating fires that killed dozens of people and torched a broad swath of California wine country last summer. At least five discrete fires are barreling across Southern California with extreme speed. They've torched over 65,000 acres. Many, many more homes are being burned. 150,000 people have fled Los Angeles now. These powerful Santa Ana winds and extremely dry conditions have fueled the wildfires with the aluminum on all of the plants and all of the bushes and the dehydration which has occurred through the use of weather modification. Hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in damage to what's already been a devastating year for fires. So far, the latest fires have forced tens of thousands to flee their homes. According to CNN on Tuesday, the city of Ventura declared a daily curfew beginning from 10 to 5 p.m. The 5 a.m. The curfew is to protect residents and prevent crimes such as looting in the evacuation areas, the city said. They can thank that for some of their people that have come in from other countries that really don't care about going into people's homes and stealing stuff. So there you go. So that's what's happening in California. So what's interesting to me, they'll be seeking federal disaster assistance again concerning this stuff. What are they planning on doing, Austin, if they become their own state and they can no longer rely on the rest of the country to bail them out with all these crazy fires they're having? What do you think?
Yeah, the fires are rough. I saw a bunch of photos last night and some videos. I mean, they're pretty horrific over there right now. But yeah, that just goes to show you the lunacy of what the liberal agenda constantly wants to push all the time. And especially when Trump first got elected, you guys remember they were just ranting and bantering back and forth about how they were going to secede and they were going to become their own state and they were going to leave the United States and blah, 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 blah. And then they turned around and they started having issues out there. Remember when the dam was about to break and all types of other stuff? They needed aid immediately. Now I'm sure they're going to need the same thing. But I mean, it's rough for the people out there. But on the other hand, too, I mean, California is such a liberal state with incredibly high income tax. I mean, it's completely out of control. So I don't know. We'll see what goes on with it. Also, too, this is other big news now. New announcement from one of the most massive natural health supplement companies in the United States, Garden of Life, has now told everybody that they are being bought out by Nestle. This is pretty sad because this actually happened a couple days ago now. Garden of Life put out an article basically telling everybody that they're thrilled to join Nestle, that they're combining the USDA organic and non-GMO product into Nestle now with their Garden of Life products. They're being bought out and that they're starting to look at the future for more growth, blah, 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 blah. We assure patrons that they're going to be getting the same products. They're going to remain the same quality. Unfortunately, as you guys know, these are all empty promises. They can't promise anything, as there will be changed the ingredients and products because Nestle has shown us time and time and time again that they're one of the most scandalous mega corporations in existence. Talked about before how they've stolen water from numerous states, natural resources, and they've blatantly come out and said that water is not a human right. You need to have to purchase it. They've also gone in and completely wreck forests just to obtain palm oil. They've even been implicated a couple years ago on using child slaves for cocoa production. They also they have their own state-of-the-art cyber army headquarters where it goes online to counter negative comments with their PR spin. We talked about that in detail. Nestle is absolutely out of control. We've seen them where they'll go in and get water rights out of a national forest for $200 to $300 a year is what they're paying for the water rights, and they'll literally extract tens of millions of gallons a year out of these areas until some places they completely decimate the entire natural water population and water supply, I should say, bottling their own products and selling them for $2 and $3 a water bottle. So Garden of Life, sorry to see you guys go over to the dark side, but I have absolutely no confidence whatsoever that they will remain the same company, as Nestle has never shown us one single time that they're about taking care of their customers and protecting the non-GMO market, Dad. So that's a sad one to see.
Well, you know, I know Jordan Rubin. He started Garden of Life probably 20 years ago. Good friend of mine, actually. And he didn't mention this to me. I talked to him on the phone just the other day. He wrote a really good book called The Maker's Diet back in the 90s, I think it was.
and just a really, really good guy. And he, very, very, very astute businessman. He sold this corporation to the prior owners, and they've now sold it to Nestle. So when I get a chance to talk to him, I'll ask him what he thinks about this. By the way, Time Magazine honors victims of sexual assault, and they leave Bill Clinton metaphorically in a body bag. This is by Ben Johnson. Time Magazine is receiving industry-wide praise for naming the silence breakers, those who have come forward as victims of sexual harassment, as the person of the year, as its person of the year. But in doing so, Time writers took a blunt swing at one of the most sacred cows in the entire Democratic Party, Bill Clinton. Among the beautiful photography and stunning profiles in this piece lies the fact it will be very hard for some Democrats to accept it. Clinton has a detailed history of sexual assault accusations and sexual assaults. It's not just accusations. In its issue honoring victims of the sexually assaulted, Time had this to say of Clinton, quote, "In politics, at least what constitutes disqualifying behavior seem to depend not on your actions but on the allegiance of your tribe. In the 1990s, feminists stood up for abuser Bill Clinton instead of his accusers, a move many are belatedly regretting as the national conversation prompts a reevaluation of the claims against the former president." Wow. So, guys, obviously the Clintons are no longer of use to the globalists who control Time Magazine, and Bill Clinton now has been thrown under the bus, and with Hillary saying that she's going to stand by her man and knowing full well what he was involved with Monica Lewinsky and plus many more, it's going to come back to bite them as far as from a political standpoint also. And I think we have seen the end of the Clinton-Bush dynasty for the past 30-some-odd plus years. I'm glad that mess is over with. I hope we never see these people in politics again. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I really hope so, too. I hope they've completely ruined the reputation, and the globalists, like you said, are completely and totally done with them. That would be awesome. Also, too, another health article that we're seeing today, another positive aspect of omega-3 fatty acids. The researchers have shown now numerous times now, and with another research that just came out, showing that omega-3 fatty acids with DHA and EPA actually lower systematic brain inflammation and can reduce stress and anxiety throughout the brain and throughout the body, which we've said numerous times. The one study in here studied 68 volunteer medical students, and basically the group regularly experienced high amounts of stress. They were divided into six different groups who they were interviewed at set intervals throughout the study to determine the levels of anxiety and stress they were experiencing. Half of the group took omega-3 supplements, while the other half took a placebo. Those who took the omega-3 supplements experienced at least a 20% drop in anxiety when the group compared that took the placebo, and blood samples showed a similar level in drop in circulating inflammatory factors. So this is another reason, again, why I always tell people the omega-3 fats, the cod liver oil, the MCT oil that we carry, the HEMLA, the phospholipid, you know, omega-3 fatty acids. These are so important in the diet on a regular basis, because not only do they help out with cholesterol, not only do they help out with joint lubrication, not only do they help out with mental clarity, they also help out with energy, and they also help out with stress and anxiety. So I thought that was pretty cool, Deb, but I wanted to touch base on that, because I always get a lot of people asking me why they think omega-3s are so important, and the proof is in the pudding, essentially, with this stuff.
Well, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. In fact, I take omega-3s every day. I take cod liver oil every day. Our cod liver oil has been basically molecularly distilled to make sure there's no mercury in it. So it's really important you make sure you do that, especially if you're pregnant. You don't want to put the mercury into your system, even though they're allowed to give you a multivial flu shot, which allows them to put mercury into your body even when you're pregnant, which is crazy to me. This is something we don't recommend. By the way, a few days ago I met with a man who works for a university. I'm not going to give you any names. And he's an inside source for me. And the university's got all kinds of legal issues happening all at once, because a bunch of the people who have been at the university, who are now 21, 22, 23 years old, they are either in the process of suing the university or telling the university they weren't treated fairly while they were there. I'll tell you what the complaints were in just a second. And here's another article that says young people say calling them a snowflake damages their mental health. These are the kids that are 16 to 24 years of age. They believe that the term snowflake is unfairly applied to millennials. 74% of respondents took it a step further, arguing that they believe that the use of this label snowflake could have a negative effect on their health simply because it wasn't affirming them. I mean, I don't even know how to deal with this, to be honest with you. This is a snowflake label, which is well-deserved. And let me tell you what these snowflakes who have left this university are doing now. One of them is complaining because the baseball coach used a bad word, supposedly, during practice. In the four-year tenure, the person was there. He heard one bad word from the football coach, and he is now saying he has been damaged mentally and is suffering psychological stress from this. Guys, I'm not even making this stuff up, okay? I mean, we're talking, this stuff's the legal stuff now. This is gone, like, about to get attorneys. Another one, because the coach supposedly said, who the coach denies, that he said the best shortstops are either Puerto Ricans or Cubans, and that he'd rather have a Puerto Rican or a Cuban as a shortstop. And this person says because he said that, he was discriminated against. The coach denies ever having made that accusation. Here's the problem that you get with these kids that have to have constant self-affirmation and constant public affirmation to be affirmed, to tell them how great they are and how unique and how special they are. This is the whole generation that we got of everybody gets a trophy. Oh, we have them now. They're here. It doesn't matter if you were first place or 50th place or 100th place. Everybody got the exact same trophy. Nobody was ever singled out for ever having accomplished anything. And suddenly, now these guys are getting out of college and they're finding out, wait a minute, I haven't changed the world. My boss didn't affirm me today. My boss didn't give me my job making $250,000 a week. I'm not making my millions of dollars a year. I'm 1 year out of college. I don't like this. I feel like I'm dealing with mental stress now because I have been called a snowflake. Guys, here's the reality check with all of this. Get a life. That's all I can say. Zig Ziglar said it so succinctly one time. He took a group of people. It was an ancient king. And it's a metaphorical story. He took an ancient king and said, the king said, I want you guys to give me the wisdom of the ages. He went to all of his prophets and priests and all the leaders of his organizations. And he said, I want you guys to tell me the wisdom of the ages. They came back with like about 100 different books, about 1,000 pages thick. And he says, surely this is the wisdom of the ages, but you've got to reduce it. So they came back with 10 books. He said, too much to read, not going to read it. Reduce it. Came back with one book. Said, no, still too much. Reduce it to one chapter. They came back with a chapter that was about 50 pages long. He says, no, I'm not going to bother with the chapter. I want you to reduce this to one sentence. What is the wisdom of the ages? And for you snowflakes who are listening to the show because someone has forwarded to you and you feel as though you need to be affirmed, I'm going to give you the wisdom of the ages in one sentence right now. There ain't no free lunch. That's the wisdom of the ages. You get what you get because you produce enough to the marketplace that you are being paid for your services, period. If you think people are going to pay you for not doing anything because you're pretty or because you're smart or because you had a 4.0 or because you need affirmation every single day, you are dreaming. It's not going to happen. Employers will hire you because you put out production. If you don't put out production, they simply will not keep you around. And if you turn into this negative Nancy or this absolutely negative Harry or whatever you want to be around them, they will find another person to replace you and you will be gone. So you will need to learn very quickly to follow instructions, and you'll need to also remember you need to learn how to organize details and follow through on the details. Just a note for you guys, if you are a snowflake, it doesn't matter what your college degree is in, if you won't produce when you get out and you have to have constant reassurance of how great you are, chances are you're going to have a difficult time making it on this planet. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, you're right. It is kind of funny, especially this younger generation. You pretty much nailed it. I mean, everything that essentially offends them, and it's almost everything on the list is what offends them, they completely freak out and they pitch fits and they turn people in, they snitch on everybody, and they have these big pity parties all over the place. And we're seeing that now, and the problem is the universities, the colleges now, are actually encouraging this behavior, almost, so to speak. I mean, I talked to the other day. He was on Tuesday about the university now that's putting in 400 security cameras to basically watch every single aspect of everything on campus, along with voice recorder activators on the cameras as well, so they can see and hear what everybody's doing, because supposedly they've had around a dozen incidences this year of people putting racial slurs under people's doors or mailboxes, and some anti-Semitic graffiti, allegedly, is what they're saying. So they're obviously, this massive cause for alarm now. We need to spend tens of thousands of dollars on an entire new camera system to watch and monitor everything that's going on, to prevent anybody from offending anybody or saying anything that somebody says. The thing is, newsflash everybody, it's not okay to run around and use racial slurs towards people and use derogatory statements towards people. But it's not illegal. It's our First Amendment right. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's Christian, and I don't think it's moral. But again, it's legal. You don't have the ability to go turn around and arrest people because they say something to you that you don't agree with or that offends you. But the problem is, we're sliding down this slippery slope every single year, month after month, closer and closer, to the point that we're going to start having the speech police coming around. And I kid you not, you see what they're doing in Europe already. You go on Facebook, you go on YouTube, you post a video of the truth, just the truth of your personal experience of encountering a Muslim migrant that tries to rape you, stab you, rob you, or beat you, and you put that information online, you have the police at your house within the day to either arrest you or tell you that that's verboten and it has to be removed immediately. That's the speech police. That's what happens when you don't have constitutional rights. That's what happens when you don't have a First Amendment right to say whatever you feel like you need to say. This is where they're taking it. It has nothing to do with helping these kids become better young adults. It has nothing to do with protecting their fragile ego or trying to prevent them from being able to be hurt, or they don't want these issues to scar them mentally. It has nothing to do with that. This is all about slowly bringing us down to that totalitarian police state where people will start being arrested and tried for what they say. Remember, this already went back on in England. This is one of the big issues that happened in 1700. You could speak nothing about the king negative. You said something about the king. King's a piece of crap. He's a fat lard. I don't like him. I wish he wasn't our king. Hang him from the bridge. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Well, I was just kidding. No, you weren't kidding. I don't like what you said. Hang him now. That's the level that they went over there, and that's the level they're trying to take us back to over here. That's why they're pushing so hard for this politically correct garbage inside the school systems and the universities now, because they know this older generation is going to say, you guys are a bunch of nutbags. We're not going to listen to you. Politically correct garbage is useless. It does nothing productive in society. However, if they can get the younger generation exactly what they're doing right now, like Dad just said with the snowflakes, they will get this next generation in line in politics to where they are so naive, they'll start saying, yeah, we got to make it illegal to say that. You can't use that word. If you use that word, that's 5-year felony prison sentence. Oh, you say that? No, you can't say that either. You get fined and you go to jail for a year. You can't say that either. That is where they're trying to take it, Dad. And this is why the politically correct generation is getting so out of hand right now, because they're instigating it and they're flaming it and they're trying to make it as big as physically possible.
You know, it's interesting. A physicist, Vella from Germany, he's basically right now being investigated by the police in Germany. This guy's a really interesting physicist. He's really into quantum mechanics. I listened to a few of his videos online. I actually used a little bit of his material. He's really, really good because he documents pretty much everything he says. He made a comment about the black stone in Mecca. The black stone in Mecca as an energy source, which I thought was interesting. These guys kiss it and everything else, supposedly. It's someplace there in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, I guess. And boy, did the German government come down and hammer him for hate speech. I mean, that's all. That's what he said. He didn't say he hated Muslims. He just talked about the black stone in Mecca, and got hammered by the government, kind of like not able to leave the country, kind of like under full investigation, kind of like a mess right now. So I hope he gets through that okay. But the thing about it is, guys, this is where it goes. Remember when I told you in Germany it happened to my relatives? You spoke out about Hitler, you were taken away. It didn't matter what you said. You said something bad about Hitler, the Third Reich, or whatever. Didn't matter if you were a Jew or Christian, a Catholic, a Gypsy or whatever. Of course, it was worse for the Jews and for the Gypsies. They kind of got hauled off whether they wanted to or not. But the German people, they learned very quickly, if they said something against Adolf Hitler or against the Third Reich or against the Fatherland, they basically disappeared in the middle of the night and never to be heard from or seen again. And these were not minorities or Jews or Muslims or, you know, or gypsies or the infirm. These were just German citizens who spoke out against what Adolf Hitler was doing, and they would come in and load them up in a car in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear screaming and yelling in the neighborhood. Next day, house is left open. Everybody knew they'd go take everything out of the house they wanted because it was fixing to get bulldozed. Following day, it gets bulldozed, put in dumpsters, hauled off of dump trucks, gone. Following day, lot was resodded as if they never existed. And my mom's, my relatives told me that after a few of those people disappeared like that in the middle of the night, everybody kept their mouth shut. Everybody kept their mouth shut. See, this is what happens when the government assumes full power and full authority over all of the states. Remember, everything was centralized through Berlin, you know, with the passage of the Enabling Act after the Reichstag was burned. I have to remember what happened in Germany. Like I said, Hitler did some things right, but he did a lot of things wrong. He did a lot of things right, like he built an Autobahn system. He got rid of the central banks. He did a lot of things he did that were very good, got unemployment down very, very low. But he went berserk. He wanted to conquer the entire planet, and that's just not something a country the size of Texas needs to try, especially when you have the international banking community coming against you because you got rid of your central bank. It's just one of those deals. Yeah. So it's just one of those deals you've got to understand that, you know, we don't want that type of surveillance state. We don't want the Patriot Act. That's why I was so diametrically opposed, Austin, in 2001 when the Patriot Act was passed and then the National Defense Authorization Act got passed and all this spying and all this TSA and all this crap started. And that's what it is. It's complete garbage. And I was livid about it. I should have been on radio back then. Gosh, if I'd have been on radio back then, you've been too young, but this show would have been as big as Alex Jones' show because I'd had enough of it back then. By the way, National Reciprocity for Concealed Carry passes the House, and it is heading to the Senate. On December the 6th, the House of Representatives passed National Reciprocity for Concealed Carry after an hour of debate, including a 15-minute vote resulting from the last-ditch effort to recommit National Reciprocity to committee. The effort to recommit the committee was a Democratic effort to derail the vote on National Reciprocity. The vote recommit failed by a margin of 236 to 190. The House then passed Representative Richard Huston's National Reciprocity legislation via a choice vote. Democrats then requested a recorded vote, and the final tabulation was recorded at 231 to 198. This is very, very important. You need to call your senators again and tell them to pass this. We have to have reciprocity in all 50 states for concealed carry. Guys, it's not cool if you're in an RV or if you're in a car and you're driving around, if you suddenly end up in a state where you can't even have a handgun. That's not okay. That's not okay. Or you have to have magazines that are, you know, less than 10 rounds. Yeah. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to go out and dump all your magazines on the side of the road? What are you going to do? Well, if you're driving in that state, you're going to break the law. None of this stuff is okay. We need to have a national reciprocity among states with specific things that we're allowed to carry between all of the states. Very, very important, Austin. What do you think?
I'm totally about that. For the longest time, the constitutional law, as far as the Second Amendment, in my opinion, should have been one of those things that should have always trumped state laws. There should have been no reason that the states have the ability to come in and start restricting a constitutional right. I've said this time and time again. It's almost humorous that the Fed will come in and dictate what some states can and can't do, like cannabis laws, even though they really have the right to do so. But then when California comes in and says, we're going to ban semi-automatic rifles, we're going to ban anything over 10-round magazines, we're going to ban flash suppressors, we're going to ban all this stuff, the Fed sits back and goes, oh, yeah, absolutely, you guys have the right to do that as the state. So it's a pick and choose of what's convenient for them. So now we're actually coming in now and doing the reciprocity law, which will be a very, very, very good law if it goes through, because this will allow, as you just said, law-abiding citizens to be able to carry throughout the entire country. Remember, the Second Amendment is not applied to Florida or just Texas or New York or Montana. The Second Amendment is applied to the entire United States of America. That's the whole aspect of it that a lot of people fail to realize. So when states come in, like California, and they start heavily restricting firearm laws, especially like California has done and Connecticut has done, they are blatantly violating constitutional law. That is illegal. So this is something that will actually help us take a step forward in getting back some of our constitutional laws. Because like Dad said, if you're driving through, you're on a road trip, you shouldn't be concerned about, well, this state state we can't have the gun out, or this state we have to make sure we hide the magazine so they don't find them. Well, this state we have to make sure that this gun's put away because this gun's illegal in this state. It's ludicrous, guys. Absolutely ludicrous that the United States citizens should ever have to be worried about carrying legal firearms anywhere in any state, period, in my opinion, Dad. So, yes, I really hope this goes through. I had a feeling after the whole thing with Vegas that this was going to get shelved, which it did for a while. But as you've noticed, this is starting to go through. We still have not heard one single peep about the SHARE Act, which was going to deregulate suppressors, which was going to be a huge aspect, not just for the constitutional law, like we're seeing right now with this and the concealed carry rights, but that was actually going to dig into the unbelievably unconstitutional NFA Act of 1934 and break that entire thing open and, for the first time since 1934, remove an item off the National Firearms Act, which would have been huge for Second Amendment rights, and in my opinion, that was a huge aspect of what was tied into that Vegas shooting. Maybe not all of what it was about, but it definitely had a significant part of it, hence why Hillary, the blithering idiot globalist puppet, immediately started running her mouth, literally the day of the shooting. The bodies weren't even cold yet on the ground, and she started saying, imagine how many people he could have killed if he would have had a silencer on his gun. Oh my gosh, it would have been devastating. That showed you right there that when she came out and said that she knew she was supposed to say that, and they're supposed to push that agenda. So, yes, Dad, I really hope the Senate can go through. We definitely got to be contacting everybody we can to get this through as aggressively as possible.
Oh, by the way, this is going to be Bash Germany Day. Just thought I'd let you guys know that, unless you think I'm not an equal opportunity basher. This is crazy. I don't even know what to say about this. You know, bestiality is already legal in Germany, which is kind of disgusting. Prostitution is legal in Germany, which, whatever on that. They have that legal in Vegas, too. I think that's ridiculous, but I guess people are going to do that. It's the world's oldest profession. But now they're going, it's taking a step too far. And, guys, if you have kids listening to this right now, I'd like to have them step out of the room for just a minute. They're not going to want to hear this right now, please. I'll give you just a second. Just tell the kids to run out, because I know a lot of homeschoolers listen to this. So give me about 2 or 3 minutes to cover the story, and we'll go on. Here we go. German young socialists want the government to fund feminist porn for the TV shows. They want to have porn on TV, and they want the government to pay for it. The young socialists, these are the communists in Berlin. These are the ones that basically follow Trotsky and all the boys and Lenin and Stalin and everybody else. These people are in Berlin. Now, remember, during World War One and during the Weimar Republic, Berlin was like a raunchy, raunchy capital in the world, in which pretty much everything went with all these weird, sick cabaret shows they had. And if you watch that movie Cabaret with Liza Minnelli, which I don't suggest that you watch because it's got a bunch of weird, sick stuff in it, it will show that particular version of Germany in G-rated fashion. It was much worse. These young socialists in Berlin, Germany capital now, they want to government to subsidize feminist porn, including, make sure your kids aren't listening, bondage, domination, sadism, and masochism for TV stations and for individual purchase. They want it put on the air. Film funding also promotes this. I'm not going to say this. It's disgusting. Okay, but they're suggesting that the government should pay for pornography on the grounds that it isn't basically presenting educational information to the people. I don't really know what to say about how Germany has fallen into this slippery slope of sickness. I have no idea what happened to the German people and why they think this is okay. I guess they're so libertarian in their mindset after having been bashed so long because of World War II, they're willing to accept anything. But then again, the cabarets after World War One and during World War One were just as bad as they are right now. And I want to share something that happened to this country. This is another article. I might as well cover these together. Playboy's secret role in unraveling the traditional nuclear family. This is an interesting article because Hugh Hefner was always promoted to this young generation, my generation, because I was born in 55, as this man who liberated the sexual revolution in the United States and helped us to be more, how should you say, spontaneous in our sexual pursuits when I was a heathen and when so many of my friends were in college with me before I got saved. And the sad part about this is now we find out how deep this rabbit hole goes. And again, keep your kids out of here for just a second, please. It goes to say, while Playboy's massive influence in overturning traditional sexual morality is admitted by most, what is less known is how this pornography empire provided legal expertise and funded court cases that played a crucial role in upending the traditional family value. This is by Doug Manowarin. It says, Playboy Seed funded not only research, but also legal teams for the first lesbian mother-child custody case. In a brief history provided to the readers of the Archives of Sexual Behavior, which was started by Hugh Hefner and his Playboy Enterprise, they basically sought to undermine the entire Christian ethic value system in the United States. The thing I want to know, and I already know this because it would be the Sabbatean Kabbalists, who funded this giant enterprise that he put together in the beginning? Who funded it? Who gave him all of this money to do all of this? And you can guarantee you it was the international banking cartel trying to turn everything upside down. He also fought for the mainstreaming of abortion rights, the legalization of marijuana, the liberation of sex from love and pornography. Hefner himself was not single-handedly responsible for the massive social changes that rocked the Western world from the sexual revolution onwards, but he was one of the most single and easily most recognizable symbol of all of it. And so it's interesting about this guy. He was involved with bestiality. Okay, he was involved with pedophilia. He was involved with molestation and statutory rape. And his magazine presented rape victims as hysterical and unreliable, which is perhaps Hefner's way of discrediting his own victims. Guys, let me share something with you. This pornography stuff that people are dealing with today because of Hugh Hefner, that George Bush said he was going to get rid of when he ran as a Christian of the governor of the state of Texas for the presidency, you know, it's almost 20 years ago now, is a major, major problem that we have in Christianity today. Guys, it's affected our men, it's affected our women, it's affected our children, it's affected so many people out there because we've grown to accept certain levels of this as okay. Guys, none of it is okay. Jesus said, if you just look at a woman in a lustful way, you've already committed adultery. Guys, it's not okay to look at this stuff. Ladies, it's not okay to look at this stuff. And kids, it's not okay to look at this stuff. This stuff is very, very addictive, particularly in men, because it causes an almost immediate contraction in the nucleus accumbens in a man's brain, making it extremely addictive for a man in particular. You really need to avoid this stuff. Keep your kids off of it. And if you need to get counseling for it, do that. Or you can get these little guardian programs, which will prevent you from seeing this stuff or letting your kids see this stuff. And if you're not going to do that, make sure you keep your iPads basically coded up so that the kids don't know what they are. And I want you guys to reconsider letting young children have iPhones and iPads that are allowed free access through Google on the internet. Quite frankly, I don't think young kids even need telephones. We didn't have telephones when we were little, and young kids actually don't need them today. If they start college, or if they're driving their car, so if their car breaks down or whatever, okay, I got that. You probably need to have a phone for emergency purposes. But guys, the longer you can keep their hearts and minds pure, the better you and that child's going to be. That's my little rant for that today, Austin. How do you think? What do you think about that? What's your next story?
Well, it's very well said. And one option that I've seen a lot of parents do too is what you can do is you can go get those prepaid like Boost mobile phones from Walmart. You know, it's like a $30, $40, $50 phone, and with a prepaid card on them. And a lot of them you can have with no internet, just basic phone service. And that's one of the best ways to go. I've seen a lot of parents do that and get away with it because that way they have a cell phone if they need to get a hold of them, if they need to know where they're at. Because, I mean, with the way everything's going now, some of the crazy people out there that are on all these psychotropic drugs, you know, you kind of want to make sure they got a backup plan in an emergency happen. But on the other hand, too, they don't need to have unfettered access to the internet and all the unbelievably weird stuff that's on that. So that's usually the best option that I would recommend. If they're needing a cell phone, get them one of those. They're still useful. They can still do things that they need to do as a basic cell phone. Remember, even us that had cell phones, I didn't have a cell phone when I was younger, but even as we had cell phones in college and the Razor came out and some of the other stuff, we survived just fine not having internet on the tip of our fingers. We'd go to the library at the school when we needed the internet. It wasn't a big deal. This whole thing having absolute 100% access to the internet 24/7 has become, in my opinion, I think it's become more of a crutch and is more of a pitfall on the American population than it has helped them. Because if you really need to get on the internet and you really need to look something up or you need to buy something, you can go to a home computer and you could do that. Having the ability to look this stuff up all all the time, especially when some of these kids get involved in stuff that they don't need to be involved in. There's no accountability there whatsoever, because they can literally go sit in their room all night long and look at this stuff on their phone. That's why they really don't need to have access to this at all at a young age. Also, other news as well, Trump's latest pick in the Fed is not a fan of paper money. Surprise, surprise. Economist Marvin Goodfriend does not like Federal Reserve notes. His opinion matters because President Trump has now nominated him to the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. If confirmed by the Senate to a 14-year term, Goodfriend may take the opportunity to pursue his academic goal, which was abolishing or at least demoting paper money. Goodfriend's concerned that the existence of cash makes it harder for the Fed to lower interest rates below zero. And the next crisis, he said, the Fed might want to push interest rates in the negative territory to prod people to stop sitting on their money and do something with it, such as consumption or investment. But today, the Fed would not be able to push interest rates on checking or savings accounts very far below zero, because as soon as it did, people would simply withdraw cash from the banks and store money in their own vaults. Goodfriend presented a paper last year in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, at the high-profile annual conclave of central bankers. The titled paper was "The Case for Encumbering Interest Rate Policy at the Zero Bound." He said, to make it less convenient for people to hoard cash, he says the government should phase out high denomination bills or charge banks and the public whenever paper money is paid out or received. That's how nuts this guy is. But even though these steps might not be enough to suppress the use of cash, he said there's three other measures, the first one being simple, abolish paper currency, but would take a lot of work. He said the second one would be break the one-for-one link between the value of a dollar and the value of money deposited in the bank. So if the use of negative interest rates lowered the amount of your deposit in the bank from a dollar to 90 cents, then your paper dollar bill would also become worth 90 cents. The third option he wants to do is currency cards, which would look like credit or debit cards, but would represent money straight from the Fed. The Fed could then control its value electronically. Goodfriend argues that in the paper that the public would likely find electronic currency as acceptable alternatives to paper currency. This ties right into the entire Bitcoin scheme right now, and everybody getting all amped up about digital currency. This is the pipe dream for these Federal Reserve globalists and all their central banks. Once they can completely control cash and abolish it, or at least make it that it's not worth holding, this will be the ultimate goal and the final step in rolling in the New World Order cashless society, Dad. So the fact that this guy looks like he may be going on to the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve is quite disturbing, but a lot of picks from Trump have not impressed me at all, so it really doesn't surprise me. I think Trump's trying to do the best he can. However, I think in a lot of cases right now, he has absolutely zero say in who he wants to be picked for these spots. I personally think he is told who is getting put in these spots and who is getting elected for these spots and who's going to be basically in these seats from now on, and there's not a whole lot he can say or do about it, but that's just my opinion. I haven't seen that personally, but from the picks that I see that he's putting out here, like Gottlieb and this Yahoo for the Federal Reserve, it does not surprise me at all, and I think that's a pretty valid argument on my end.
Very good analogy. Austin, here's the thing. The swamp's not getting drained. It's getting deeper and thicker with more moccasins and snakes in it, okay? Trump's a figurehead. I know we can't, he's part of the executive branch. He's supposed to have a lot more authority than he does. He doesn't. I mean, he can't go outside of the Congress as far as getting things passed or funding. I mean, he's a figurehead. And even more so because of the Exchange Stability Fund. Let me say that again so it's a little more clear. The Exchange Stability Fund that was started in 1934, in which the Federal Reserve Bank took control of the Treasury of the United States. This is what's going on right now. This whole country is being run by a group of the international bankers and also the mafia, including the Jewish mafia from Russia, the Jewish mafia from Europe, the Jewish mafia out of Israel, the Italian mafia, a bunch of different mafiosa families. I mean, it's just what's going on. I mean, that's why if you read the book, The Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia, again, you're going to find out exactly what's happening globally. Organized crime has taken over the planet through the Sabotin Kambalis Network. That's what this is. And they're picking who they want to pick in. Now, the whole thing with Bitcoin, I'm going to make one comment about Bitcoin. 99% of Bitcoin is owned by 1% of the Bitcoin owners. You heard that right. 99% of Bitcoin is owned by 1%. That means that all the other people are just basically forcing their value of their 99% to go higher and higher and higher and higher and higher because the coins have already been tied up by, I'm sure it is central banks that have done this and allowed this to happen. And it's another way to extract your savings from you and take your money away because they want your stuff. I don't know why they want your stuff or my stuff or anybody's stuff because they can just print money and get their own stuff and have more stuff than they know what to do with because stuff requires a lot of maintenance and stuff is a lot of hassle a lot of times you have too much stuff. But these guys got more stuff than they know what to do with. But they want your stuff too. So that's the sad part about all this. Now they're saying, well, if you put your money in the bank, we're going to take 10% of it automatically as a tax. In Switzerland, they started doing this already. If you hold cash or Swiss francs in the bank account, they give you negative interest. So what happened in Switzerland is exactly what they said they're afraid of is going to happen here. These Swiss people just went to the banks so they could get a 500 and a 1,000 note Swiss franc note, and they just pulled all their money out of the banks and said, the heck with
you. Yep.
And stuck it in their safety deposit box or under their mattress and said, you're not going to charge me negative interest on my money in my bank. I'll just pull it out in francs. So that's what they're trying to avoid. Again, all of these things are beta tests with this cryptocurrency. That's what they're doing right now. Because remember, 1% owns 99% of Bitcoin, and that 1% is becoming fabulously wealthy through this because everybody's pumping all of their hard-earned assets and real money into Bitcoin, including selling of their gold and silver, but we won't go any further than that today. By the way, the mainstream media is now being forced to admit, begrudgingly and in very limited disclosure, by the way, that ingredients in vaccines cause autism. This is an interesting article by Brandon Turberville. He says, while the mainstream corporate media outlets and the big pharma have attempted to hide and silence criticism of vaccines as crazy, anti-science, and even Russia propaganda, like we heard in England the other day, recent research has managed to cut through the haze of disinformation peddled by these outlets. And now we're starting to see, as the research at Keele University published in the Journal of Trace Elements in Medicine and Biology, provides the strongest indication yet that aluminum is the cause of autistic spectrum disorder. So guys, over and over and over again, we see this being told to people, and yet when you say this, in fact, I did a huge TV show this morning on CTN, the Christian television network out of Orlando. I'm sorry, out of Clearwater. It's in, I think, 40 million households, and it'll be airing 1st of January. It was on Sharon's new book, Eat Clean and Be Healthy. And I said on the show, I said, they're saying that autism is being caused by genetic disorders. They're saying that inflammatory diseases are being caused by genetic disorders. They're blaming everything on genes, and it's simply not true because the genes don't express themselves unless they're given the proper environmental stimuli in 80% of the cases. In other words, 80% of what you become is based upon your diet and your lifestyle choices, not your DNA. Newsflash. Your DNA can be changed through epigenetics, and that's what these guys are doing with the GMO foods. That's why we have 1 in 40 people now. Some people say 1 in 50, some say 1 in 60 kids coming out with autism. And that leading researcher from MIT saying that by 2025, half the boys will have autism. Half the children will have autism. Guys, these aren't genetic defects that are causing half the kids to have autism. If it had been that, 100 years ago, half the kids would have had autism. Something's happening in the environment, and the mainstream media is finally being forced to look at it. Why? Because there are enough people, as myself included, and you, Austin, that are going out and screaming from the rooftops to the best of our ability, hey, it's the aluminum, it's the heavy metals, it's the glyphosate that's causing all this stuff. Hey, let's clean this mess up so we save the kids. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, we got those individuals that were working with the RNs in that hospital, I think, over in Minnesota. I talked about that last week. You know, 67 of them were fired because they refused to get flu vaccinations. That's what everybody has to start doing. We all have to start taking a stand with stuff like that. If everybody just sits back and goes, oh, well, I don't want any conflict with it. I got my job here and I got it. You know, that's your bread and butter. That's how you make your income. That's what you do. But if everybody keeps capitulating and giving into this, nothing's going to be done with it. And these guys are literally going to get away with the most aggressive poisoning of the American population that's ever happened in history, period. These vaccinations are a blatant poison program. That's what they've been doing with them. If these vaccinations were really, truly pure vaccinations, if they really were helping people fight off this stuff, if they really were helping to immunize them correctly, if they were really concerned about it, they wouldn't be allowing compounds like polyasorbate 80, unbelievably high amounts of aluminum, well above what the EPA will even allow in drinking water in one single shot. Mercury, aborted fetal cells. This stuff is nightmarish. It's stuff that you would never even want to put in your body under any circumstances, yet people get lined up out the door at Walgreens to get their flu shot every single year because that's what the mainstream tells them. But as Dad said, we're having this big awakening now, and it's awesome. That's when people start forwarding our show. When they talk, when they go on the Hagmans, they listen to our show. They support all this stuff. When we're trying to push this stuff out on the market and out in the open to wake everybody up, that is what makes the changes. And the more people that keep pushing this and the more people that keep showing the alternative news and what's really going on, the more progress we're going to make. And I am definitely glad to see that this is starting to wake a lot of people up now, Dad. Also, too, in other news, Dawson County Sheriff in Georgia, a deputy, is out of the hospital now after a suspect beat him when this Sergeant Randy Harkson, 52 years old, was assaulted after he gave a suspect a courtesy ride to a gas station when he basically called 911 and said he needed help and he needed a ride to the gas station. Harkinson picked him up, took him to the gas station. When he got to the gas station, he basically made sure everything was good, and then the individual jumped on Harkinson, started beating him in the head, and then tried to take his gun from him. A female named female that was unnamed said she saw Johnson basically being beaten by this guy. She stopped her car, drew her pistol, and shot the suspect once, shot once, hit him once. He jumped around the corner, ran to a McDonald's where a bunch of Good Samaritans basically grabbed him and held him down until more deputies arrived on backup. The suspect was shot once, and the sheriff said that he is basically in custody now. Harkinson is a 20-year-old veteran of the sheriff's office, and he is now out of the hospital. But again, this is another perfect example of how the United States citizens of the country, of your county, the people, the civilians that are walking around here, when they have guns and they know how to use them and they train with them properly, they can be immense support for local law enforcement. That's why a lot of cases, not all the cases, but in a lot of cases, when sheriffs and cops and state troopers are smart, they actually have brains, they actually think, and most of them do, not all of them though, there's a couple bad apples that ruin it for all of them, but when most of them, when they have that common sense and they pull somebody over or something happens and they see their concealed weapons permit, majority of the time if they're smart, they say, hey, you know what, slow down or be safe, don't do that again, if something happens, have my back, and that's how it's supposed to be. If you support your local sheriffs, if you support your local law enforcement in a situation like that, that's how the citizens are supposed to respond when something happens like that. That is the perfect scenario when something happens. And, I mean, who knows what would have happened to this officer. You know, may have gotten knocked out unconscious. The guy may have stolen his gun. He may have stolen his car. He may have killed somebody. You have no idea. So this civilian being armed was able to stop a much more progressive situation that probably would have been much worse, Dad. So I was glad to see that she was able to do that.
Well, you're absolutely right, Austin. I mean, I'd love to hear stories like that. Here's another one. Homeowner shoots a would-be robber during a home invasion. This is in Columbia, Missouri. He shot a would-be robber during a home invasion. He basically pulled his pistol. He said, this guy went to the front. Somebody knocked on the door at 10 o'clock at night. Couldn't see through the peephole. Finally, he cracked the door with a chain on it. The guy ends up, which, by the way, he should never have done. The guy tries at that point to push the door open, end up with a gunfire, and ended up scaring the guy away. See, this is what happens when you have a concealed weapon in your home. I remember years ago, it was the middle of the day, and my daughter came running to me, and it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was home for various reasons that day, because a lot of times I work from the house, and this is a complete stranger with no vehicle parked, and there's no vehicle in front of my house, just walking down the road, and the guy looked kind of like a bad guy, if you know what I'm saying. It looked like he'd just gotten out of prison, quite frankly. And so my daughter came and got me and says, Daddy, you got to come to the door. Some nut guys, let's sit out front. As I walked to the front door with a 12-gauge shotgun, you know, I've got my doors are glass in the front, so you can see me standing there with a 12-gauge. And I just looked at him, and I pointed at the gun, pointed at him, and pointed to the road, and the boy left. See, this is what you have to understand. It's castle doctrine. You don't have to flee. If somebody's going to attack you or kick your door in or whatever, they need to be aware of something.
in places in the state, in the United States, where they have castle doctrine, like Missouri and Florida, a person doesn't have to flee or run away. It's just very, very, very good doctrine not to have to do that. Also, stand your ground laws. So it's a very good state to live in if you don't have that, because it's just something that we need to all be aware of. I know Grady Judd, our sheriff here in Polk County, great guy, he sent an email out just this week and told everybody that they need to be carrying guns in church and be trained with the guns. He has a program to train them how to handle the guns properly in their own churches in the event a would-be shooter came into the churches. I mean, this is an email from the sheriff of Polk County just this past week. And in fact, I'll pull it up for you guys real quick and pull it up. And the name of the thing is Guardian is the program that he has. And he comes out with a program called the Cyber Star. And he goes that Polk County is a safe place. I'm reading right from the email now. A safe place to live and raise your children with a much lower crime rate. But we don't want, I'm paraphrasing now, but we don't want what happened to the Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. He goes, an active shooter can strike anywhere, and that's why you need to think about what you would do. Then he goes on to say, we offer a training to area business and to churches to teach citizens about what they can do in the event of an active assailant. It is my hope the things you learn will enhance your safety should the unthinkable happen. There are things you can do that can help prevent or mitigate an active assailant attack, and this program will teach you how to do that. Once an active assailant incident starts, law enforcement will respond, but experience tells us that it won't be there on time to stop significant casualties. By the time someone calls 911, the active shooter has already started, and law enforcement is minutes away when only seconds count. The ideal situation is there will be good people there who have a gun. This is our sheriff writing this to the county. There will be good people there who will have a gun and know how to use it. Maybe one of those good people is you. Based on my 40-plus years of experience in law enforcement, I know the only thing, listen to this what our sheriff says, quote, I know the only thing that stops a bad person with a gun is a good person with a gun. Active shooters don't plan for their victims to shoot back. That's why I strongly advocate that people who feel comfortable owning and using a gun for protection become well-qualified, trained, and obtain a concealed carry license. What an incredible sheriff we have here, guys. I have many friends of mine that are police officers, and they've told me, especially the sheriff's department, if they ever stop anyone, like Austin said, if they see they have a concealed weapons permit, they tell them to slow down or don't run the stop sign or don't run the red light, be more careful. We got your back. You got our back. Go ahead and go on down the road. And my friends who are cops told me this. They said when they stop somebody who has a concealed weapons permit, they know that person is the cream of the crop as far as civilians. That they know that person's passed background checks galore in order to carry that gun, and they're going to take care of them in the event that they need that person to help them in a situation where they get in trouble, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's a great idea, what Grady's doing, because we talked about that last week. That was the biggest aspect I talked about with our buddy over there in Tampa, our pastor friend over there, is that when he put that sign up on the church, you know, basically saying that the congregation's armed, you know, something happens, that they're basically going to engage you with deadly force, more than likely that sign's going to prevent anybody from going in there and trying to do some type of mass shooting, because they're going to know as soon as they read it, these guys are wild. It's going to be the Wild West as soon as I walk in there. It's going to be a nightmare. This is not going to be a fun mass shooting for me, because I'm probably going to get shot before I even get a round off. But on the other aspect, too, what we went into detail on that show, if you haven't heard of it, was you have to make sure if you do have multiple people in your congregation that are saying, yes, we're going to carry, yes, we're going to be armed, yes, we're going to return fire if something happens, that everybody knows what everybody's doing, and you don't have just some old Wild West saloon shootout in the middle of the church when somebody walks in and goes nuts and they got a 38 special and they walk in waving it and all of a sudden 20 people turn around and start unloading lead in every direction. That's not a good situation either. So what Grady's doing is incredible. Effective at actually helping to come to these churches and community centers, any place they want to do this, and teach them how to handle the situation with deadly force, but also safely for everybody else around it, because you don't want to be in a position where somebody comes in with a handgun or somebody comes in, there's a nut, and they end up pulling out a gun. Well, then everybody unloads all their magazines, and we have 15, 20 dead bystanders all around. A, that's horrific. That's a horrible situation to be in. Secondly, we do not need that for the Second Amendment patriot groups in the United States. That would be absolutely horrible for our cause, and the liberals would have a field day with it, including CNN, and making sure they blasted it on the news for probably months on end just to make sure they remind everybody how crazy the patriots are. So that's what we don't need happening. Practice makes perfect. I tell that everybody. If you're going to carry, if you're going to have a weapon on you, if you're going to carry one in your vehicle, train with it as much as physically possible. Don't just buy it, shoot it one time at the range, put it in your vehicle or put it in a holster, and never train with it, because you get rusty on this stuff, and you want to make sure you're always frosty in any situation that arises, Deb.
Absolutely. By the way, the war on coconut oil is continuing. California companies are attacked to try and prevent the sale of coconut oil. Guys, coconut oil is good for you. It's good for people with Alzheimer's disease. It's good for senile dementia. It's good for fatty liver. I take MCT oil, coconut oil, every single day, medium chain triglyceride oil. It helps make your stomach flat, makes your liver kind of go back down if you've got non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Guys, it really does a good job for everything, including getting the HDL cholesterol up. We sell it at Health Masters, one of our top sellers. Take about a tablespoon a day. I use the MCT when I think it's a better product. Guys, it helps hypertension. Science has proven that. It helps high blood pressure. Science has proven that. It helps, you know, strengthen the kidney and the liver. Science has proven that. It shows that it just does so much for heart disease and for your health. But, guys, thank you so much for being here and listening today. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I appreciate you guys. I love you, too. You guys are family. We pray for you on a regular basis. Thanks for supporting us at our website, healthmasters.com. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We have the multiple powder, we have the multiple capsules, and we have the multiple chewables. And, guys, quite frankly, it's because of you we're here, and I want to thank you again for that. I really, really, really do appreciate you so much for all that you do for us. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and close.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate the support. It's been a great day down here in Florida. We're making sure we're getting everything done. We've had a couple back orders on some products that we've been contacting our customers about. So thank you for bearing with us on that right now. A lot of busy stuff going on, especially after Black Friday and that Cyber Monday craziness. So we appreciate everything. Be sure to check out the product of the week on the website at healthmasters.com, the cinnamon extract fuel burner, which is great for burning body fat. It's also good for maintaining healthy glucose metabolism and maintaining healthy blood sugar levels and keeping them in a normal range. That right now is on sale for over 10% off on the front page of the website on product of the week. And so be sure to check out the other products that are on there as well that you can vote on. I know the cortisol buster is a popular one, and that product's on there as well. So if you need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.